Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and we are going to do a very special show tonight. A sad show. A show that I hate to do, but one that I've known that I'm going to have to do for some time. And that's saying goodbye to a friend, a longtime personal friend and associate. And if you've been following JerryPippin.com, especially since the days when we were on KBIX with streaming audio every night, back in the early years of 2000 to 2003, when we did political shows, we would call on our friend Jerry Wilhite as one of the commentators. Boston Rib would also join us, and in addition to that, we would have a few conservatives call in as well. Now, the interesting thing about Jerry Wilhite, and we'll get into it here in a moment, was that he originally was more or less a liberal like myself in high school and college, and then he became infected with success, made a lot of money, big businessman, became a Republican, but later on he changed his stripes again, and when we were doing our shows, one day he called in out of the blue and said, "Hey, I want to do some comments." Since then, he started writing columns for us and wrote columns almost every day or two for many, many years. All of a sudden, a lot of people noticed that the columns had stopped, and the reason is very simple, that Jerry Wilhite had very serious health issues, and he had a serious case of congestive heart failure, diabetes, and a few other elements, ailments as well. I talked to Jerry on the phone earlier this week from his home near Seattle at a suburb there. He had just moved there recently because I guess he saw the writing on the wall. He had talked to me several times about what might happen. And basically, he passed away Thursday night. The death certificate says on April 20th at 8:07 p.m. Pacific time. He moved back to the West Coast because of his lovely wife, Helen, of many, many years, who had relatives and had a daughter there. And he wanted to make sure that everything was fine for her for the rest of her life. I talked to Helen just recently, last night, and Helen is in good health and doing well, as expected. Jerry, even though he was in sad shape, no one really expected him to pass away the way he did. Helen said he basically was sitting in his chair. She turned around, and he was gone. We're going to do a tribute here. And first of all, I think we'll play a little sound bite. And then we'll be back and we'll talk about some of the things about his life and what the services will be and what his wishes were and things along that line. But right now I'm going to play a soundbite from a show that I did here on Blog Talk Radio back in November 25th of 2009. And it was a happier time. It was a time when we were celebrating my 70th birthday. And so you'll get a flavor of Jerry's personality and a little bit about our life. We first met in Sunday school, of all places. I think he was 10 years old at the time, or 9, something like that. And we became lifelong buddies. And we'll talk about that when I get back. But as you can tell by listening to this recording, even if you've heard him earlier on our shows from KBIX, you could tell that his health was failing. Anyway, let's listen to this recording. We'll be back with the statistics and all the information about the life of Jerry Wilhite.
Our call-in number is 646-915-9182. Again, that's 646-915-9182 if you'd like to remember Jerry Wilhite.
We've got a call from 713. I'm going to add them.
And who's
713? I'm not sure.
Hello?
713, you're on the air with Jerry Pippin.
Hello, Jerry. How are you doing?
Okay, now listen, this voice...
You know, it occurred to me as I was dialing that you have never been older than you are right now.
That's true.
All of the years that I've known you, and you have never been this decrepit.
I know it, and I'm getting older. I'm getting older. This sounds like a Jerry Wilhite.
Yes, it is, Jerry.
there you go.
Jerry Wilhite and I go all the way back to the eighth grade.
That's excellent.
And he's been in Houston now for a long time, being held captive.
Who's got him? Who's got him held captive?
No, the Texans. You get in the Texas, you can't get out. Janet was lucky enough to get out. I'm kidding,
oh,
everybody
like
in Texas. We're just kidding.
That's like
but
the Hotel California.
It's hard to leave. You know, I was thinking earlier today of all of the embarrassing stories I could tell.
Yeah.
And I decided that in a fit of mercy to tell none.
Oh, really?
Yeah, none. Not even the one where we took the girl to the haunted house. I wasn't going to tell that one where she scared us to death.
But she did.
Yeah, she did.
Dean, this was... I've always
I think
been.
He was still on the third floor when we were half a block away.
That's right.
we took her
to this haunted house, and we were going to scare her. And it just worked out the other way. We saw.
It didn't work quite right, did it?
No. I was up on the third floor with her, and Don Gard, another friend of mine, and Jerry Wilhite were down in. It's still in the car, and they were going to run inside and scare us, and I was going to be a hero. But somehow, the first of all, the moonlight reflected in her eyes, and I swear I saw little crosses or flashes of light coming out of them. She was enjoying everything too much. And second of all, I reached into the closet, and I felt something. And I figured it was Don or Jerry, and I looked out the window, and they were just getting out of the car. So I don't know how I beat her down. I was downstairs probably a minute and a half before she got there.
Oh, I think you went past us as we were going in. I mean, you were moving.
So much for Jerry Pippin being brave.
Exactly. You know, in fact, following up on that, I remember when I lived in Porter, Oklahoma, in a haunted house.
Yeah, you did.
And you wouldn't come out there at night.
Well, I did once or twice.
Oh, my.
Oh, it was honestly haunted.
No, but he saw a lady was murdered there, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, she died in a fire.
Yeah, or something. And,
yeah.
You know where Porter is, Dean? It's outside of Tulsa. It's a small town, and it's down by the Arkansas River. And a lot of orchards through there. And Jerry had a really nice house, but it was way out off of the beaten path.
Pretty dark at night.
Oh, that's what I was getting to. It's really
I knew
dark.
Where you were headed.
Really dark.
I mean, I wouldn't even go outside at night, I don't think. That was a whole different ball game.
Wow.
And, of course, Helen, his lovely wife, and he would enjoy telling me these ghost stories, and then they knew I had to drive 4 or 5 miles back to the main highway.
Makes you want to look in the back seat, don't it?
Yeah, oh, he did every time. And you could just see the car accelerate every time he'd turn around.
Yeah.
He knew there was somebody after him.
And
hey, just quickly, Jerry, I wanted to mention, Signs 47's in your chat room and says, happy birthday, Jerry. Greb Habanol is in your chat room and says, happy birthday, and he's enjoyed your work. And Anthea Appel's in the chat room and says, happy birthday.
Well, you've got a lot of people in the chat room.
There's three other guests also, but I don't know who they are.
They don't have to identify themselves, huh?
No, they can come anonymous.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I know it.
I've got one other Jerry Pippin story, and then I'll get off the phone. This one has bugged me since the ninth grade. Jerry and I were debate partners, and we had a chance, a very valid chance, to go all the way and win the state finals. And we came up in one of the semi-matches against two cheerleader females.
Good-looking women.
All I know is Jerry could not get a word out. Not a word.
Well, Dorothy Peterson kept flashing me there with...
Well, that's what you claimed. I never saw it. But you sure were... You know, I'd say, okay, Jerry, what are you going to say next? It was over, you know.
Yeah, they beat us like a drum.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure if there were three judges, the vote was 3-0. If there were 33 judges, the vote was 33-0. I mean,
yeah.
They just beat us pitifully. Well, I just wanted to call Jerry and say hi and wish you a happy birthday.
I didn't realize you stayed up this late.
Yeah, actually I stay up till about 5 in the morning usually. Then sleep.
Well, he's always been a night owl. That's kind of an inside joke, Dean.
Then I sleep till noon or 1. You know?
No, he gets up early too. Maybe that's the reason we had a long friendship all these years. He didn't require a lot of sleep, and I'm an 8-hour guy. You know?
Yeah, you were. You
still
know.
Am. Even
you
though I do a lot of things, I still have to get my sleep. Anyway, Jerry, what's happening in Houston? Is it what's the weather like?
The weather's a little chilly but clear.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have any bad weather for Thanksgiving, but it may be a little chillier than we're accustomed to.
So you and your family and Jeff and his family and everybody's going to have a nice Thanksgiving?
Well, actually, Helen and I are going out to eat, and Jeff and his family are going somewhere else to eat.
Oh, you got it made.
Yeah, we're kind of looking forward to it.
Well, Dean, what are you doing tomorrow?
I'm going to my son's house. My grandbabies are going to be there.
That's good.
Well, that does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't get to see them that often, so that'll be a good chance for them to see them.
Jerry Wilhite was never really much of a kids man, but he has grandkids now. And
well, just the one.
Yeah,
he's got me literally wrapped around her finger.
Yep. Just doesn't even sound like the same guy.
No.
they'll wrap you right in, won't they, buddy?
Oh, yeah. It's all over. I mean, it's whatever.
Well,
want,
since I let everybody know how old I am, I'm 70, I have two great-grandkids.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and that's another thing, Dean. I, at one time, convinced Jerry he was a year older than he was, and he went for several years believing that.
I don't remember this.
Well, I'm a year younger than Jerry, and I always told him he's a year older than me, you know. And he finally accepted the fact that he was, even though we're just a few months apart.
Yeah, I think it's only 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
What are you, June or July?
June.
Yeah.
That was UFO Casebook that was here, Jerry, to say hi. They said happy birthday to you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good website, and they do a lot of good work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to jump off the phone, but like I said, I just wanted to call and share a few little stories.
I'm glad you did.
Some of them I can't tell.
Uh-oh.
Thank God.
They're just... it'd just be bleep, 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 you know? Well, anyway, have a happy Jerry.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye now.
Bye, buddy.
Okay, That was, of course, a recording that we made November 25th of 2009. As you heard there, Jerry Wilhite had a birthday every year in June, and we were actually the same age for June, July, August, September, October, November. And we basically thought we'd do this tribute to Jerry Wilhite as a columnist for us and a longtime friend, well over 60 years. Not many people have stayed in touch all that time, but we have. We've had lots of ups and downs, and we'll probably go through all of that here in a minute. If you would like to comment, our telephone line is 646-915-9182. That's 646-915-9182. Or if you want to send me an email, jerry@jerrypippin.com. We do have an email from the chat room, by the way, is also open in case somebody wants to get in there and talk on Blog Talk Radio. I got this email from Judy Wolf, and let me read it. It says, Jerry, just read your glowing tribute to Wilhite. She's talking about a tribute that we have on our website at jerrypippin.com. You can find it from the highlights window right now, or later on, if you listen to the show on a replay sometime down the line, this will end up on a tribute page to Jerry Wilhite himself. Just enter, we'll have a link to it there, but we'll also just enter his name and it'll come up. We have hundreds of columns by him as well. Judy goes on in this email, says, Dane Henry just called me and told me about Jerry's death. As you know, I was in Bonna Miller's Latin class with you and Wilhite and enjoyed it thoroughly. I was surprised about his death. I'm really sorry, because Jerry was a sweet guy and a swell guy. And signed by Judy Stevens Wolf. And Judy Stevens was her name in high school. And basically, she's a good-looking chick, and we paid a lot of attention to her. Of course, we had a lot of things in common, Jerry Wilhite and myself. We loved the competitive speech. We loved debate. We loved drama. We had a lot of high school plays together. Jerry was very good at extemporaneous speaking, actually better at that than I was. But, in fact, he even made it to one of the national tournaments in that. I started concentrating on acting, basically. But we both love debate. We still do, or did, until his death, of course, on Thursday. And so if anyone wants to feel like they would like to send us an email or a phone call, you're welcome to do that. And I want to go ahead and get into the statistics about all of this. As you know, everybody gets an obituary, and so we're going to give Jerry one. And we'll do that here in just a second. But before I do that, I do want to go ahead and give the email address again, jerry@jerrypippin.com. Or if you want to call, it's 646-915-9182. When we actually talk about Jerry and we talk about obituaries, I guess the best thing to do is start with his birth. He was born in June of 1940 in a little town called Ada, Oklahoma. He was one of two children, and the other child was older. And then, in addition to that, Norma Jean passed away sometime back, and one of the last times I saw Jerry was at her funeral. Jerry's mother and dad were Homer Wilhite and Vera Wilhite. Homer made a living as a carpenter. And actually, he bought the first 55 Chevrolet, new off a showroom floor. And Jerry, and of course, was and I were there when he got home with it, and that was the car in 1955, if you don't remember. Even though I was a Ford guy, Jerry had always been a Chevy guy. And basically, we can talk a little bit about some of the things that happened. As I mentioned earlier, I had known Jerry through church because his mother and my mother were both very religious, and we attended Calvary Baptist Church at Cincinnati and R in Muskogee. And we went to junior high school. Actually, I was over at West High and transferred in the eighth grade back to Alice Robertson Junior High School on the east side. And, of course, Jerry, I knew him from church, so we naturally kind of got together. And I was very active in speech. Even at that age, they had an active speech department there at Alice Robertson. That's one of the reasons I wanted to go there. And we basically, I already knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do radio. Jerry wasn't sure what he wanted to do. But we did a lot of things in high school, a lot of plays, a lot of speech activities, a lot of different things. And both of us ended up at Northeastern State University in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Jerry, along with another good friend of ours, Don Gard, they both lived in Tahlequah. I was working in Muskogee at KBIX and driving back and forth. Tahlequah was only about 30 miles away. Back in those days, you could actually pay your tuition and go to school on a minimum wage. And so I was working my way through college. And Jerry and Don, along with Paula Alexander at the time, Paula Latshaw, later a retired federal judge, and basically, they were all going to Northeastern. Paula transferred on over to OU. But Jerry and Don dropped out. Well, they didn't actually drop out. They basically spent all their time in the student union playing bridge. It's interesting that cards and the luck of the draw had a lot of effect on Jerry and my life later. As you know, I later lived in Las Vegas for some time. And before that, Jerry and I actually lived right outside Edwards Air Force Base in Lancaster, California. Edwards actually in Palmdale. And we spent most of the time on the weekends driving back into Las Vegas. I remember one time we spent all week working on a foolproof 21 system. We played, I bet we probably played 5,000 hands and took notes on every possible way. This is well before computers. Every possible way that the house could win. So we jumped in his car and drove to Las Vegas. And actually, we went downtown where we could play a little cheaper. The minimums were a little better, and we won some money. It wasn't a great deal of money, $700 or $800, but it was good money, especially back in those days. And Will Height, it was his car, so he was driving, and we had just read some articles about a place called the Bonanza Hotel. And we had seen, we hadn't been there, so it's about the second or third hotel from the last as you leave this Las Vegas, going back to California, and Will Hyde insisted on stopping. And, of course, you know what happened. We had to stop at the blackjack table, and Will Hyde lost our $800. And I never let him forget that. Later on, he became quite successful in Las Vegas, as a matter of fact. Mastered the games. I guess he knew when to go home. And, of course, I was there career-wise working on radio. And so we had a friendship that even lasted during that time. So when you talk about Jerry Wilhite, now we're going to lose our live feed here in a minute, and then we're going to go on for another 7 or 8 minutes, I think, on archive. But when you talk about Jerry Wilhite, you have to talk about a fellow who was full of I guess mixed signals. At one time, I remember he came back. I never went to church camp, but he did. His mother would have died if he hadn't gone, so he did go, and he came back. He was going to be a minister, which I found hard to believe. And so that lasted about 6 months, and then we were back to our regular habits. Anyway, Jerry Wilhite passed away in a suburb of Seattle, Washington, at his home on Thursday night, and we will all miss him. We're going to keep his columns up for a while, and we'll keep things going about him. And we have a tribute page coming up with a regular obituary, which we'll be presenting as well. Go to jerrypippin.com, JerryPippin.com. Now, we're going to lose the live feed, but we have about 6 or 7 more minutes. We'll reminisce a little bit more, and then we'll close out our show and our tribute. But when we talk about, first of all, we're both from Muskogee, Oklahoma. And Jerry and Don Gard and myself, I have an email here from Don. He's talking about that he was going through a difficult time and he would transfer out to Southern California, lived in Redondo Beach. Jerry lived in Orange County since he was a good Republican at that time. And, of course, I was Mr. Showbiz, so I was living in Santa Monica and near the beach. And we spent a lot of time together during that time. And, in fact, Jerry introduced Don to his wife and that he married at the time. She later passed away, and Don's remarried. But those were good times. Formulation of the friendship, ascertaining stronger bonds than ever there in Southern California. I've often wondered, we thought about going together, pooling our money, and getting one of those Hollywood mansions, but we never did, probably just as well. And as I later went back to Oklahoma, Jerry Wilhite came back to Oklahoma for a little while. He had already discovered what he wanted to do. He just didn't know it at the time, and that was when he got out of the Air Force at Edwards Air Force Base, which is a highly secret Air Force base, and he was in a highly secret operation there. Gary Francis Powers was a person that frequented his supply house, and some of the other astronauts. But the Air Force is very good at departmentalization and keeping secrets. And Jerry never really figured out what Gary Francis Powers did until he was shot down in the U-2. Jerry thought he was some sort of helicopter pilot. He didn't know. And so we later, since I do a lot of UFO shows now, compared notes about those times, and I ended up, as a matter of fact, there in Lancaster working for a radio station. That's an interesting story on its own. Jerry calls me from, he lives out there at that time. I was back in Tulsa and was a sales manager at KMOD and was really wanting to get back on the air, and the station had been sold. And he said, Lee Marvin owns a radio station out here. Why don't you contact him and go to work? And so I called and got a hold of the station manager, and he seemed flabbergasted that I called out of the blue from Tulsa, Oklahoma, which I thought was kind of strange. But he said, yeah, come on out. Well, there were country formats, so maybe that was all it was to it. But when I got there, it was true Lee Marvin did own the radio station, but he probably had never seen it. It was a big tax write-off. And back in those days, now Lancaster, Palmdale now is probably a pretty nice place. But back then there wasn't much to do. A few three-hole golf courses, and that was about it. And so, and it was hot in the middle of the desert. And so Wilhite and I had quite a good time living together because basically we found out that there was a telephone operator's office there that let the shift changed at 1 o'clock in the morning. So if we were out playing tennis at 1 o'clock, we could meet these operators. And we had some good friendships, I must say. But basically, when we get back to Jerry, he came back to Tulsa, came back to Muskogee. Actually, I went back to Muskogee, Oklahoma, and went back to KBIX, went back on the air, working mornings. And Jerry took a job, because he wanted to come back, he took a job in restaurant supply sales. And we got the big idea that we could probably operate a restaurant, so we did. We went partnership in a restaurant, the Coastal Light Inn, on 32nd Street in Muskogee, right off of Highway 69, and did pretty well with it. But the landlord figured out we were doing well and kept raising the rent, so finally we gave it up, and Jerry got an offer to go do what he made $1 million doing, and that was selling heavy equipment, mainly those super cranes. And in later life, he had formed a partnership with a couple other people, and they were one of the main crane suppliers in the world. So we'll all miss Jerry Wilhite. He was an interesting fellow, a fellow of many moods. But regardless, despite the fact he could be pretty picky, most of the time, most people loved him. And we certainly did. Jerry Wilhite, we will miss you, my friend. This program has been produced by Boston Red. I'm Jerry Pippin. Thank you for listening.
See you later, alligator.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today.